Good morning, and welcome to the West Valley News Digest. I'm Karen Kelly, your volunteer reader. Today is Saturday, March 28, 2026. I'll be starting out with news from the westvalleyview.com, which covers Buckeye, Avondale, Goodyear, and Tolleson. I will then read from the Wickenburg Sun. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be covering news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. So let's get started with news from westvalleyview.com. Our first article is entitled, Tolleson Union High School District Recall Dispute Advances to Court. Article written by Samantha Rhea. A legal challenge over thousands of disqualified recall petition signatures seeking to recall two Tolleson Union High School District governing board members will advance in court next month as a political action committee argues the county improperly disqualified enough signatures to keep the effort off the ballot. Protecting Their Future, PTF, a TUHSD political action committee that organized the recall effort, claims the Maricopa County Recorder wrongly invalidated thousands of signatures by treating qualified elector and registered voter as the same, arguing the Arizona Constitution and law distinguish between the two and do not require petition signers to be registered voters. The matter began last July when PTF filed applications with the Maricopa County School Superintendent to recall governing board members Stephen Chapman and Lisa Sun in the Tolleson Union High School District Number 214. The applications cited concerns over district spending decisions, including a $25 million transfer to the Isaac School District, a land lease for housing, a district office move, and allegations related to open meeting law violations. After the Maricopa County Recorder's Office determined in late January that the Chapman and Son recall petitions failed to meet the required number of signatures, PTF challenged the decision with a verified special action complaint filed in Maricopa County Superior Court. Each petition required a minimum of 8,711 signatures to qualify for the ballot. The county recorder received and reviewed a total of 13,124 signatures for the Chapman recall petition and 13,324 signatures for the Sun recall petition, according to court filings. However, only 7,696 signatures on the Chapman recall petition and 7,724 signatures on the Sun recall petition were found to be qualified electors at the time of signing the petition. A total of 5,428 signatures on the Chapman petition and 5,600 on the Sun petition were disqualified because signers were not qualified electors at the time of signing or for other reasons under Arizona Revised Statutes, Section 19-208.02A. The complaint filed by PTF alleges the county recorder unconstitutionally disqualified 6,319 signatures across both petitions based on voter registration status and signature mismatches with voter registration files. According to court documents, the county recorder disqualified 3,198 signatures from the Sun recall petition, including 2,595 because the signers were not registered voters, 563 due to signature mismatches with voter registration records, and 40 because the signers registered to vote after signing the petition. The county recorder also disqualified 3,121 signatures from the Chapman recall petition, including 2,584, because the signers were not registered voters, 500 due to signature mismatches, and 37 because the signers registered after signing. Without those disqualifications, the group says both recall efforts would have qualified for the ballot. The lawsuit The lawsuit also challenges the county recorder's actions as violations of state law, arguing that Arizona Revised Statute Section 19-208.02 does not authorize disqualifying signatures based on voter registration status, and requires the county to provide qualified electors an opportunity to correct mismatched signatures during the statutory verification period. The lawsuit specifically challenges the county recorder's authority under Arizona Revised Statutes Section 19-208.02A, 2, and 3, arguing those provisions were applied in a way that improperly conflated qualified elector with registered voter. Section 19-208.02 governs how petition signatures are reviewed and verified. PTF also argues the disqualifications violated its constitutional rights under Arizona's recall provisions and free speech protections in both the state and U.S. constitutions. The complaint cites prior court rulings and opinions, including cases in Arizona and Colorado, that found voter registration requirements in petition processes can unconstitutionally restrict participation. A hearing is scheduled for April 3rd when a Maricopa County Superior Court judge will consider whether the signatures were improperly disqualified and whether the recall efforts should proceed. This story is made possible through grant funding from the Arizona Local News Foundation's Arizona Community Collaborative Fund. And that concludes the article entitled Tolleson Union High School District Recall Dispute Advances to Court. Our next article is entitled Buckeye Spring Celebration Features 100 Hidden Golden Eggs, written by Joshua Fenty, West Valley View staff writer. This year marks the 28th annual spring celebration in the city of Buckeye, inviting residents to Sundance Park for a day of outdoor, family-friendly activities and fun. To breathe new life into the iconic tradition, 100 golden eggs will be hidden away throughout the park, and each will have a special prize waiting inside. We're always excited for spring celebration. It's an opportunity for us to bring people out to the park and to get them to experience some things that they can still do during the summer season, Anderson said. It's not only a celebration of the day, but it's a celebration of the park in general. From 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday, March 28, Sundance Park will transform into the festival grounds for the spring celebration. This year's Imagine Schools Egg Hunt is scheduled in 30-minute blocks, organized by age group. In this activity, participants search around designated areas of Sundance Park to find and collect colorful eggs, which hold candies, treats, and toys. On the tot field, the first hunt of the day at 9:30 will be for participants with special needs, followed by egg hunters 4 years and younger 30 minutes later. On the Imagine Schools field, egg runners 5 and 6 will start at 9:30 a.m., followed by participants ages 7 and 8 at 10 a.m., 9 and 10-year-olds at 10:30 a.m., 11 and 12-year-olds at 11 a.m., and the final group at 11:30 a.m. Welcome to families and participants 13 and older. My personal favorite part is trying to keep the kids from rushing the eggs, the events manager says. It's always fun to watch our egg hunt announcers do the countdown, and once they get to go, it's really fun to watch all of the kids, participants, and families run through the egg hunt and also still be polite. Luckily for us, we get to see it many times throughout the day. In addition to the egg hunt, the spring celebration will feature other activities such as a petting zoo, bounce houses, face painting, free special stickers, and an opportunity to take pictures with Mr. and Mrs. Spring Bunny. In addition to the celebration being free to attend, the city will not charge a fee for participation in the petting zoo, Bounce Houses, Aid Decorating, hosted by the Buckeye Senior Center and Arts and Crafts section. The reasoning behind this decision, Anderson said, was to expand accessibility of the event, noting that more of the event is free than ever. Various vendors and food trucks will be in attendance for guests to visit as well. With the spring celebration just around the corner, Anderson said she hopes as many residents, families, and visitors will still come out to enjoy the event, despite the slightly warmer weather. It's a little bit warm for this time of year, but we're going to have a lot of incredible opportunities for those memory-building times, Anderson said. We really hope that people come out, have a good time, and stick around and learn about all the fun things that they can do, not only at events, but other areas within the city and city programs that we have to offer them. So again, this will be the Buckeye Spring Celebration taking place today, Saturday, March 28th from 9 a.m. to noon at Sundance Park, 22865 West Lower Buckeye Road in Buckeye. It is free admission, and for more information, please go to buckeyeaz.gov. And with that, that concludes the article entitled Buckeye Spring Celebration Features 100 Hidden Golden Eggs. Next up, Avondale opens Civic Center Art Gallery. Article by Jimmy Van Wickler, West Valley View staff writer. The city of Avondale opened the Civic Center Art Gallery on March 20th, offering the community a new cultural space. The Civic Center Art Gallery was created as a space to showcase rotating exhibitions throughout the year that involve four different quarterly themes. The art gallery will be in front of the Civic Center Library. We do general celebrations for the city, so we try to stay in line with that, said Marissa Daly, Avondale's Arts, Culture, and Library Manager. We also recognize important national holidays or celebrations. In setting up this art gallery, the City of Avondale partnered with the West Valley Arts Council. Once the City of Avondale decides the themes and exhibitions, the West Valley Arts Council will look for local artists and look through multiple works of art and decide what artists or portraits will be displayed at the show. They work pretty well with West Valley artists, Daly said. They also have a gallery in Surprise, so they're familiar with doing this. During the process, the City of Avondale is responsible for putting together media and marketing information using the libraries to promote the event, while the West Valley Art Council is responsible for setting up and taking down all the art so they can get prepared for the next exhibit. According to the curator, Daisy Brady, a lot of math goes into hanging the pieces. Brady finds the center point of each painting and hangs it so that point is 60 inches off the ground. She makes sure they are evenly spaced, eye level, and arranged in a way that is visually pleasing. The selection of works across various mediums is intentional. It usually takes several months to seek artists through an art call, or I go out to festivals and fairs locally and find local artists, Brady said. I'm looking for artists to fill that niche. The gallery's first exhibition, Art in Nature, features works inspired by the natural world and will be on display from March 20th through April 21st. It's a very unifying theme that brings people together, makes people happy, and it's a wide variety of different mediums, said Kathy Neck, who is the executive director of the West Valley Arts Council. We think that people really enjoy coming to see the show. The initiative is led by the city's Municipal Art Committee in partnership with West Valley Arts Council and the Avondale Parks, Recreation, and Libraries Department, with the goal of highlighting local artists and bringing more public art experiences to the community. It's a hub of local artists, Daly said. Not only can the community see local artists, but they can also participate by working with the West Valley Arts Council to get their art submitted and hopefully displayed. The Civic Center Art Gallery is displaying multiple varieties of art in this exhibit. With the gallery being a smaller one, bigger pieces will not be displayed. We actually have fiber, acrylic, wire, and thread art, Knight said. It's a relatively small exhibit, but your mind and soul gets filled by it all. The next exhibit the art gallery has planned is the Community Canvas exhibit. This exhibit will support local Black artists while showcasing bold and beautiful art, according to Necht. We're trying to give people an opportunity to come together and really feel good about what's going on in the community, Neck said. An opening reception is scheduled from 5 to 7 p.m. at the gallery inside the Civic Center Library. The show will introduce 17 artists in total. The gallery is free and open during regular library hours, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 1 to 5 p.m. Friday and Saturday. I hope that, through word of mouth and through our efforts in communication, people recognize that this is a great place to come and spend a little bit of time, Next said. I hope that the audience continues to grow and the community recognizes what a fabulous cost-free asset this is to their city. So this is at the Civic Center Library, which is 11350 West Civic Center Drive. Admission is free. And for more information, please go to avondalelibrary.org. And that concludes the article, Avondale Open Civic Center Art Gallery. And our next article is entitled, Fix Auto Avondale Owner Unveils Community Sculpture, written by West Valley View staff. Troy Buck, owner of Fix Auto Avondale, recently helped unveil the 10th and final installation in the City of Goodyear's Heart of Goodyear Public Art Project, a community initiative celebrating the city's 75th anniversary. Installed last month outside Alice Cooper's Solid Rock Teen Center, the large fiberglass heart sculpture was transformed into a collaborative artwork created by Buck alongside teen artists from the center. City leaders, including the mayor and city staff, attended the unveiling ceremony. Part of a citywide collection of 10 painted hearts placed throughout Goodyear, the project highlights local artists and represents a decade of the city's history through each piece. Buck's design stands out for its collaboration with youth artists, incorporating their artwork into the final piece, now permanently displayed outside the Teen Center, about a mile from Fix Auto Avondale. The City of Goodyear formally recognized Buck for his dedication to the project, noting he contributed approximately 70 hours beyond the scope of his original commission and worked closely with city staff and students to ensure the artwork authentically reflected the creativity and identity of the Teen Center community. Working alongside the talented students from the Solid Rock Teen Center was incredibly rewarding, said Troy Buck, owner of Fix Auto Avondale. Seeing their creativity become part of a permanent piece of public art is something I'm really proud to be part of. Buck dedicated more than 100 hours to the project from concept through completion. His involvement with the organization extends beyond the installation. For the second consecutive year, Buck created and donated an original painting for Alice Cooper's annual Christmas Pudding Charitable Concert, which raised more than $1 million this year to support Solid Rock Teen Centers. Buck's artwork has helped raise more than $17,000 for the organization. Looking ahead to the rest of the year, Troy is already exploring new ways to make a meaningful impact and has several exciting initiatives in mind to expand his charitable efforts. For more information, visit fixautousa.com. And that's all the time we have for the article, Fix Auto Avondale Owner Unveils Community Sculpture. This concludes news from westvalleyview.com. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. Now, let's move on to news from the Wickenburg Sun. Article is, suspect in 2024 triple fatal collision on US 93 near Congress arrested in Utah. Over a year after causing a fatal accident on US 93 and fleeing the state, Amy Lynn Mickelson was apprehended in Utah and will face trial in Yavapai County. On December 7, 2024, at approximately 2:15 p.m., detectives responded to a fatal collision on southbound US 93 near milepost 175 in Congress. During the investigation, detectives determined that Mickelson, 48, was impaired when she drove her BMW sedan across the center line and struck a Toyota Sienna minivan head-on. Three occupants of the Sienna were pronounced deceased at the scene: the 51-year-old driver from Gilbert and two passengers from Chandler, ages 17 and 44. The remaining four occupants, all minor children between the ages of 5 and 16, were transported for medical treatment with serious physical injuries. Following the collision, Mickelson fled Arizona and established residence in Utah. On March 19, she was arrested outside a convenience store in Salt Lake City, Utah, and booked into the Weber County Jail. She is being held without bond pending extradition to Yavapai County. Mickelson faces three counts of second-degree murder, seven counts of aggravated assault, two counts of felony endangerment, one count of criminal damage, and one count of aggravated DUI. And this concludes the article, suspect in 2024 triple fatal collision on US 93 near Congress arrested in Utah. Let's continue. Our next article is Wickenburg honors Jim Doc Little with inaugural veterinarian scholarship benefit. Each year, the Legends of the West Rodeo nominates a legend to acknowledge and celebrate their contributions to the Wickenburg community and the PRCA. The fifth annual Legends of the West Pro Rodeo legend is Jim Doc Little. In memory of Doc, we will be hosting the inaugural Dr. Jim Little Rural Area Veterinarian Scholarship Fund Benefit Roping and Auction. Dr. Jim Little was a respected Arizona veterinarian, rancher, and community leader. After earning his veterinarian degree from Colorado State University, he built a long and dedicated career in Wickenburg, serving families, ranchers, and livestock across the state. He was deeply involved in community service, supporting 4-H youth, serving on the hospital board, volunteering as a firefighter, and mentoring young vets. In 1994, he and his wife, Chris, partnered with Ben and Claudia Billingsley in the Four Paw Cattle Company. For the next 25 years after selling his Bar S animal practice in 2000, he could be found either at the ranch, with family, or providing veterinarian services to Arizona ranches. Dr. Little recognized the growing shortage of large animal vets in rural Arizona. To help address this need, he began building a scholarship fund to support new vets who commit to serving rural ranch communities. The Dr. Jim Little Rural Area Veterinarian Scholarship, administered through the Bill Owen Cowboy Artists Memorial Scholarship Fund, BOCA, will help reduce student loan debt for vets working with cattle, horses, sheep, pigs, and other livestock in rural areas. The fund is thriving and on a wonderful trajectory, with a goal set by BOCA to reach $1 million. This milestone will enable BOCA to use the interest and gains from its investments to cover vet student loans, ensuring the program continues to make a meaningful impact for years to come. Together, we can make a difference. And that's all the time we have for the article. Wickenburg honors Jim Doc Little with inaugural veterinarian scholarship benefit. Next up, obituaries. Jackie Coombs passed away March 23rd. Kevin Eugene Rex passed away February 28th. Charles Eugene Jean Campbell, passed away February 12. Sandra Louise Bobbitt, passed away February 22. Next up, around town, support the Wickenburg Library at Desserts in the Desert, April 1st. Community members are invited to support the Wickenburg Public Library on Wednesday, April 1st, when the library and the Friends of the Wickenburg Public Library host Desserts in the Desert from 5 to 7 p.m. Throughout the evening, guests will enjoy a tempting assortment of elegant, bite-sized desserts, including decadent pastries and sweet creations from local bake shops. Guests will also have the opportunity to bid on full-sized, take-home desserts and other raffle prizes. The evening will feature a local talent showcase with song and dance performances from community members. Attendees will be able to cast their vote for their favorite act in a People's Choice competition. Desserts in the Desert is a free community event, and reservations are not required. For those who would like to participate in the dessert tasting, tickets will be available for purchase at $3 for $5. Raffle tickets for the take-home desserts will also be available for $5 per ticket. Dessert tasting tables will be located throughout the library and patio area, offering guests the opportunity to sample a variety of sweet treats while enjoying the event's entertainment. All proceeds from the event will benefit the Wickenburg Public Library. And this concludes the article, Support the Wickenburg Library at Desserts in the Desert, April 1st. Next up, This Week in Wickenburg History. Let's take a look at 50 years ago, April 1st, 1976. VNB announced management appointments. Bruce Yenerich, a Valley banker for nearly 15 years, has been named assistant manager of the Valley National Bank in downtown Wickenburg. Yenerich succeeds Jerry Ryden, who has left the bank. Yenerich has gained experience in all facets of banking operations since joining Valley National Bank as a management trainee at the East Van Buren office in Phoenix in 1961. Following assignments as a teller and loan interviewer in various offices in Phoenix, Yenerich was promoted to installment loan officer in 1969 and then to assistant manager in 1970 at the Kingman office. 3 years later, he became assistant manager of the Lake Havasu office. 40 years ago, March 27, 1986, local man sentenced 7 years. William E. Lundstrom, who was convicted of manslaughter for shooting his estranged wife to death more than a year ago in a Wickenburg restaurant, received a 7.5-year sentence from Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Jeffrey S. Cates Tuesday afternoon. "I'm disappointed with the sentence," said prosecuting attorney John Berkmeyer. "In light of the acts committed, I don't think it's appropriate." Defense attorney Thomas A. Thins said he was happier with Tuesday's sentence than the 15-year maximum sentence recommended by both the prosecutor and state's probation officer. And we'll finish up the Wickenburg news with the Pet of the Week. This comes to us from the Humane Society of Wickenburg, located at 4000 Industrial Road. Their phone number is 928-684-8801. And who do we have but a gorgeous German Shepherd? His name is Bobby. He's 8 years old. He weighs in at a nice 115 pounds. Looks like your traditional German Shepherd, brown and black. He is neutered. His bio says, "A complete sweetheart who truly loves life. This older, distinguished gentleman has a gentle spirit and enjoys being around his people." And with that, that concludes news from the Wickenburg Sun. I'm Karen Kelly, and you're listening to the West Valley News Digest on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Remember, you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. For the remaining time, I will be reading news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise from yourvalley.net, as well as the online editions of the Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise Independence, the Glendale Star, and the Peoria Times. So let's move on. Our next article is entitled BPR Breaks Ground on Glendale Warehouse Site. BPR Companies officially broke ground in March on EQT Real Estate Commerce 303, a 497,234 square foot cross-docked speculative warehouse in Glendale's expanding industrial corridor. The project is situated on a 70-acre site at 15600 West Camelback Road, positioned to serve the growing logistics and distribution needs of the West Valley. Commerce 303 is designed to meet the demands of modern industrial users and will feature 40-foot clear heights, tilt-up concrete construction, and a hybrid panelized roof system. The facility will provide efficiency, flexibility, and scalability for distribution and logistics operators. Glendale continues to grow as companies see more opportunities in our city, Glendale Mayor Jerry P. Wyers stated in a press release. Projects like this help meet growing demand for modern logistics and distribution space in our region, while keeping our city moving forward and attractive to companies looking to relocate their business. The West Valley's Loop 303 corridor continues to grow, driven by its infrastructure, proximity to major transportation corridors, and increasing demand for quality distribution space. Construction is underway at the site. We are excited to bring Commerce 303 to the West Valley and contribute to the region's ongoing economic expansion, BJ Copeland, CEO of BPR Companies, stated in a press release. This project reflects our dedication to delivering best-in-class industrial facilities that serve the needs of today's market. And this concludes the article entitled BPR Breaks Ground on Glendale Warehouse Site. Let's continue. Our next article is entitled Peoria Unified Teacher Terminated After Alleged Sexually Related Incidents with Student. Article by Philip Haldeman. A Centennial High School teacher accused of having a sexual relationship with a student was terminated March 26th by the Peoria Unified Governing Board. The board voted to terminate Haley Beck because of her alleged sexually related incidents with a student on the varsity football team. Beck was a world history, sociology, and psychology teacher and soccer coach. She has a pending charge of pandering, a felony, with the Maricopa County Attorney's Office based on an investigation by Peoria Police. A spokesperson with the Attorney's Office said her case is still under review. PUSD Chief Personnel Officer Talia Visitainer said at the board meeting the district believes the actions of Ms. Beck justify termination based on violations of governing board policies as well as state statutes. In a statement sent to Peoria Independent, the district and governing board said they take all allegations of harm involving students very seriously and encourage students, families, and staff to speak up about concerns so they can be quickly addressed. Since the Peoria Police Department brought forward allegations against Ms. Beck, the district had to wait for the Peoria Police to conclude their investigation. Peoria Police has since shared their findings with the Maricopa County Attorney's Office to determine if criminal charges are supported, according to the statement. Following the Peoria Police investigation, the district conducted an internal investigation under the provisions of Title IX. The district reported to the Arizona Department of Education on August 3, 2025, who determined Beck violated district policy that prohibits sexual harassment under Title IX and recommended termination. The Department of Education investigation states that Beck's predatory practices leads to a determination of grooming and violates District Policy 4-202. The investigative report continues that the teacher's actions were not appropriate in a student-teacher relationship and constitute sexual harassment and constitute serious and chronic violations of district policy, professional standards, and Arizona law. As a result of the recommendation, the governing board on March 26 adopted a statement of charges to terminate Beck. ADE's investigation is pending approval from the Arizona State Board of Education, which could occur as early as March 30th. Last year, the Peoria police investigated Beck, alleging she was intimate with the former student during the past 2 years. The student at the center of the case admitted to his mother he had a sexual relationship with Beck, according to a police report. The student chose not to be interviewed by police because he said he feared getting into trouble, as well as others getting into trouble. His mother also had concerns of the investigation hurting his chances for a college athletic scholarship. Police reports said investigators believe Beck had a sexual relationship with the student based on numerous text messages in her cell phone that explicitly talk about sexual acts, as well as several other text messages with explicit language. Many incidents involving Beck and the student occurred after the student had turned 18, the police report states. While those acts would not be criminal, district officials say they did violate Peoria Unified Teacher Conduct Policy. An editor's note, this story has been updated with comments from Peoria Unified School District. And with that, this concludes the article, Peoria Unified Teacher Terminated After Alleged Sexually Related Incidents with Student. Let's continue. Our next article is Police Making Progress on Little Library Investigation in Northwest Valley, written by Philip Haldeman. Peoria police say they are increasing patrols and making progress on their investigation of a wave of vandalism that has left a number of neighborhood little free libraries destroyed. A group of teenage girls were caught on camera destroying the libraries over the last few weeks. Police say as many as four libraries have been vandalized in Peoria, as well as others in multiple jurisdictions. The incidents have left residents who have untouched libraries on their property wondering if it could happen to them, as some victims have been hit multiple times. Philip Ladd, who lives near a neighborhood where some of the little libraries have been destroyed, said he knows some of the victims, and he says the situation is unfortunate. It is really sad that people would destroy these little free libraries that are enjoyed by many people, he said. Little free libraries are small, weatherproof, usually wooden boxes that function as free book exchanges, operating under the mantra, take a book, share a book. They are located in front yards, parks, and community centers, and they promote literacy as well as build community by providing access to books for all ages. Phoenix Council member Danette Dunn said it's heartbreaking to see city neighborhoods' little libraries vandalized. These spaces are built on trust, generosity, and the joy of sharing books, she said. We used to see similar things with mailboxes when I was younger. I hope parents take the time to talk with their children about respecting community spaces so we can continue to enjoy these valuable resources. And this concludes the article, Police Making Progress on Little Library Investigation in Northwest Valley. Our next article is entitled Surprise High School Student is National Merit Finalist by Independent News Media. A Shadow Ridge High School student has moved on to be a finalist in the next stage of the National Merit Scholarship Program. Nicholas Snyder plans to major in mechanical engineering and said he hopes to develop new technologies, possibly in transportation or manufacturing. I think it's just representative of the effort that people are willing to put forth to better themselves and to apply their skills to better the world in the future, Snyder said. About being a National Merit Scholar means. I think that's what people's goals should be, is to apply their own knowledge, their own skill, and their own strengths towards the betterment of humanity, towards serving the common good. Last fall, the highest scoring students in the state were named semifinalists out of over 1.3 million high school juniors that take the PSAT, NMS, QT each year. Only 16,000 students, or less than 1% of all high school seniors in the U.S., advance to be semifinalists. These students can submit an application to be considered for finalist and compete for one of 2,500 National Merit Scholarships that will be awarded this spring. And that concludes the article entitled Surprise High School Student is National Merit Finalist. Our next article is called Crash Results in Fatality, Officer Injured. Article by Joe McHugh, Glendale Staff Editorial Supervisor. One passenger is dead, and two others were seriously injured in a pair of related crashes over the weekend, police said. A Glendale police officer was also injured, but they were not life-threatening. Leading up to the incident, the officer spotted a wrong-way driver. The vehicle continued traveling on the opposite side of the road as the officer attempted to stop the vehicle for driving with erratic behavior. As the two vehicles entered the 56th Avenue intersection, the police vehicle collided with the erratic driver. After the collision, both the officer and driver were taken to the hospital by ambulance. The related crash involved the erratic driver and another vehicle who ran into the erratic driver. The passenger of the second vehicle was pronounced deceased, and the driver sustained serious but non-life-threatening injuries. The erratic driver also sustained serious but non-life-threatening injuries. The vehicular crimes detectives will be taking over the case, the department said. And that concludes the article, Crash Results in Fatality, Officer Injured. Our next article is entitled, West Valley Law Enforcement Runs to Support Special Olympics. Article by Joshua Fenty, Peoria Times staff writer. This year marks the 50th birthday of the Special Olympics of Arizona, which is dedicated to creating a space for individuals with disabilities to shine and be celebrated for their athletic achievements. According to President and CEO Jamie Heckerman, the program is largely supported by the kindness and contributions of various individual volunteers and organizations, including the Peoria Police Department and other law enforcement agencies across the West Valley. They're all volunteers. They don't have to do this, and they're not paid to do this, but they want to, and they want to be part of our athletes' lives and see them share in that joy, Heckerman said. Law enforcement sees a lot of people on their hardest day, but for athletes, they've overcome a lot to get to where they are, and that partnership is really strong, and it fuels me to see that. The Peoria Police Department, PPD, hosted the 5th annual Torch Run on March 11th. PPD was joined by officers from Glendale, Buckeye, Avondale, and El Mirage, as well as students from West MEC and other residents and community members to support Special Olympians. The purpose of the event is to raise funds for the Special Olympics, which includes proceeds from the sale of the commemorative T-shirts that all of the participants wear. According to PPD Public Information Officer Christopher Babros, the Peoria Police Department has been in the top 8 to 5 agencies in raising funds for the program. He said that globally, the Torch Run is the largest fundraiser, raising upwards of $1 billion. PPD hosts various other fundraisers throughout the year, such as Tip a Cop to support the Special Olympics. The money the department donates, Babro said, goes to the sporting events and equipment, as well as medical screenings. The total run measured 3.2 miles, beginning at Rio Vista Park, heading northbound along the Skunk Creek Trailhead to the Peoria Sports Complex, carrying a flaming torch the whole time. As a prelude to the Rockies versus Mariners spring training game, the group ran the torch onto the field and the Special Olympians threw the first pitch of the match as well. Once the torch-bearing ceremony was complete, the runners headed back on the route to Rio Vista Park, where they were met with a lunch provided by TAC 48. For Babros, being the guardians of the flame is about promoting inclusion and highlighting the courage and determination demonstrated by the athletes. It's an opportunity for us to bring all these West Valley agencies together to celebrate and to run with these wonderful athletes, said Christopher Babros, Public Information Officer for PPD. What better way than to celebrate with a torch run and to also be alongside these athletes, not just today carrying the torch, but every single day that we spend with them. The Special Olympics is an international organization dating back to the early 1950s and 60s with Eunice Kennedy Silver's Summer Day Camp for young people with intellectual disabilities. Today, the Special Olympics Arizona features 22 Olympic-style sports in the spring, fall, and winter for children and adults with disabilities alike. One of the most important aspects of the experience for them, Heckerman said, is the opportunity to be seen and show that they are true athletes. Our athletes are frequently hidden away in dark corners of society. They don't really get to see that light and recognition that they are athletes and they should be included in their communities, she said. They train for 8 weeks in the sports that they select, compete at their highest level, and can move on to our USA Games to continue to shine and show what they're capable of. This is their moment to shine, and it's so exciting. And that concludes the article, West Valley Law Enforcement Runs to Support Special Olympics. Let's continue. Our next article is entitled Peoria to Celebrate 50th Dolly Sanchez Easter Event by Peoria Times staff. The city of Peoria will host the 50th annual Dolly Sanchez Easter celebration from 9 a.m. to noon, Saturday, April 4th, at a new location at City Hall and Centennial Plaza, 8401 West Monroe Street. The event marks a milestone for the longtime community tradition, transforming the downtown space into an Easter-themed village with activities for families. Attendees can expect interactive spring activities, live entertainment, children's activity areas, community booths, and photo opportunities. New this year, guests will receive golden egg passports at entry points. Participants can visit themed stations throughout the event to collect stamps and treats. Completed passports will be exchanged for a golden egg with prizes. Food trucks serving breakfast items and beverages will also be available for purchase. The celebration began in 1976 when Peoria resident Dolly Sanchez organized a free Easter egg hunt at Varney Park. The event grew through community support, later expanding to multiple parks before moving to the Peoria Sports Complex in 1994. The Sanchez family continues to be involved in the event, which organizers say remains focused on bringing families together. And with that, that completes the article, Peoria to Celebrate 50th Dolly Sanchez Easter Event. Our next article is entitled Paris Baguette Location Near West Valley Mall Now Open. Article by Philip Haldeman. Paris Baguette is now open at the southeast corner of 83rd Avenue and Bell Road, near Arrowhead Town Center. The business had a soft opening March 21st and is now officially open. There are now at least 7 locations in Arizona, with more openings planned soon. The Global Bakery Cafe franchise, with nearly 260 locations open across North America and another 500 plus in development, announced last year they awarded more than 225 new franchise agreements. The company plans to reach the 1,000 unit mark across the U.S. and the 100 unit mark in Canada by 2030. The bakery offers a variety of sweet and savory pastries, breads, and donuts, freshly baked every day. Their cake master also offers cakes decorated as requested. Company officials say Paris Baguette's primary mission is to provide guests with a warm, welcoming bakery cafe experience that creates joy for all. Hours of operation are 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. And this concludes the article. Paris Baguette location near West Valley Mall now open. Our next article is entitled Mrs. Bunny Hopping into Surprise This Weekend by Independent News Media. Cookies and Crafts with Mrs. Bunny is hopping its way to the Sierra Montana Recreation Center on Saturday, March 28th, today. This program is open to children of all ages who want to visit with Mrs. Bunny while making crafts, eating snacks, and participating in an egg hunt. Space is limited, and pre-registration is required for adults and any child 3 and up. Registration is $5 per person for surprise residents and $10 per person for non-residents. Registration is available for the following time slots: 9 to 10 a.m., 10:15 to 11:15 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at surprise.gov/surprise-rec. Click Special Programs. Portions of the event will be outside, so dress accordingly. Email troyce.shelton, and that is spelled R-O-Y-C-E, and Shelton is S-H-E-L-T-O-N, at surpriseaz.gov, or call 623-222-2210. And this is the article, Mrs. Bunny Hopping into Surprise This Weekend. And our last article today is Barbie at 67, article by Judy Bloom, West Valley View columnist. Happy birthday, Barbie! Yes, the iconic Barbie doll has just turned 67 years old. She made her debut in March of 1959, launching one of the most enduring consumer brands in modern culture. Perhaps this emphasizes that brands are not just products, but stories that continue to evolve. Barbie shows no sign of slowing down or moving into a retirement community. To be fair, Barbie has gone through a major transformation and is looking a little different these days. I wouldn't go so far as to say normal, but there are several new Barbie body types and 7 skin tones. Oh, and it seems Barbie has gained a little weight. Well, age will do that. There is even a new Barbie with gray hair and glasses. Millennial moms weren't buying the freak of nature that Mattel created when they made a tall, slender, buxom, blonde bombshell of a doll who couldn't even stand on her own 2 feet. Poor Barbie's feet are horribly shaped to fit permanently into stilettos, not the usual footwear of busy moms or young girls. Some say Mattel was brilliant for this feminist rebranding. Back in the late 1950s and 1960s, 99% of all little girls ages 3 to 10 had a Barbie. Prior to that time, toy makers made baby dolls. Then came Barbie. Move over, Tiny Tears. There is a new doll in town. Who knew that this blonde, beautiful, slender, with a figure like a Playboy bunny, doll would become a cultural phenomenon? How many times have we heard the references to Barbie doll good looks or the perfect couple looking like Ken and Barbie? Body image is a tricky thing. Hopefully our role models are real people with genuine accomplishments and value. We aspire to be like them. Somehow a plastic doll has morphed into an icon, a standard for young girls to look up to. Some psychologists have claimed the Barbie effect has impacted entire generations of young girls who continually measure themselves against a blonde, hot mess of a toy. Yikes. Is that one of the reasons why we are a looks-obsessed culture? God made us all in different shapes and sizes. Beauty is only skin deep. Yes, we probably have all heard and said these messages as a counterattack on impossible beauty standards that are dangerous, unhealthy, and unreal. But then, lurking in a small girl's bedroom is the beauty of all time, Barbie, that looks like she might be a chorus girl in Las Vegas. Hate to say it, but that Barbie is a fake. Shares of Mattel Incorporated have soared since they introduced the new Barbies. Yes, various body sizes, many skin and hair colors, a disabled Barbie in a wheelchair, an astronaut, a pilot, an Olympic champion are but a few of the ways that the doll has evolved. 1 billion Barbie dolls have sold worldwide, and at age 67, she looks new again. Yes, dear readers, Barbie is reminding us that age is just a number. And instead of feeling old, just reinvent yourself. No stilettos required. And that concludes the article, Barbie at 67. Well, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining me for the West Valley News Digest. As a reminder, you can take SunSounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. I'm Karen Kelly, your SunSounds broadcaster. Please stay tuned for more great programming on SunSounds of Arizona.